Scripture, and we see some things that you say from and about time, Lord, that we will learn to number our days. Lord, we'll learn to number our days. We just pray this in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. That is the title of the message, Learn to Number Your Days. Learn to number your days. Turn your Bible to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, I'm going to give you a portion of a verse. It's the last part of Luke chapter 12, verse 15. The Bible says, "A man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth." You know, if you think about the world, I was looking online. They said something about Ivanka Trump's yacht and how big it is. And I clicked on it. And yeah, they take you through every loop of everybody's yacht. And I mean, there were $500 million yachts. You know, one of them. And you're just looking at that, going, "Man, that's a big boat." And Judy said about that, she says, "Boy, we built that house over there, and I thought that was a bit much, but you know, we didn't get up to $500 million, of course." But when you look at those yachts, man, what did it say? It slept 22 on one of them, and then it said the staff was 54. Judy said, "Well, where do they sleep?" I said, "Well, I guess they sort of sleep anywhere, but it sleeps 22 comfortably, you know, in your own little room." Some of them had two helicopter pads. I mean, one's enough for me. What about you? You know, but when you look at that, listen, your life does not consist of the things that you possess. But the world, it wants to tell you, look, your possessions, man, that's what it's all about. You know, what you have and how much you have and how much more you can get and get and get and get and get. And then your life's over, and then what do you have to show for it? You know, the only thing that really matters in life is what you do for Christ. People say to me, and I've been in this a long time, but people say, "Well, you know, you went to college and, you know, you don't drink. You're going to have a hard time in business." And it was a little more difficult at times until you prove yourself. And then it's like, look, we'll put up with him. You know, if he can do the job, you know, we'll put up with him. And then I got Christian bosses. Man, what a little heaven on earth that was when that happened. Then I started working for the church that you guys are at, in 1995. I worked there in 1995 for 6 months. They didn't have enough money to pay me anything. First 6 months, I worked for free. And then in July, they started paying me. I worked for $15,000 a year, minus $5,000 for health insurance and minus $3,000 for the kids' school. We made it. We made it. Listen, it wasn't all about what am I going to be able to accumulate on a net $7,000. Well, fortunately, we were debt-free, so we could live on that little. And fortunately, I was a CPA, therefore I could work on the side. But listen, it's not about what you can accumulate in life. That is not what it's about. You look at my house or our house over there. Listen, this is Judy's, you know, her what do you call it? What do you call it when it's your dream house? Your dream house. But it's no big deal for either one of us. Now, we're ready to get out of the motorhome. No doubt about it. I mean, today I walked in there and the bathroom door was ajar and I'm like, you know, the cat's right there. And I'm like, what in the world? And I come busting through and she's in the bathroom. And I'm like, man, I didn't even know you're in here. I mean, the place is small. You know, it's like the opposite of Grand Central Station. But the bathroom sometimes feels like Grand Central Station with two of us. You know, it's just like, get out of here. I got to get in there. I told her, I said, look, I got to use the bathroom. And she's looking at me, this, you know, she says, right now? And I went, this week? You know, it's like that place is so small, but we're ready to get out of there. But listen, our life does not consist, it isn't all about that house. That house is a necessary thing. I want to live close to the church. We have only ever lived, I think it's 5 minutes away from the church max. Because our life revolves around church, whether it's in Alabama or whether it's in Knoxville, Tennessee, or whether it's in Niceville, Florida. Why is that? Because that's our life. That you are our life. You're our family. Do you realize that many of you would say that these people in here are closer than some of your blood relatives? That's the way it is. You want to know why? Because that's how God designed the church. God designed the church so that your family can be right here to come in and say, hey, we're there for you, thick or thin. Yeah, we're not, they say, well, thicker than blood and all that. Yeah, but we're all blood bought. We all have the same blood running through our veins as the blood of Jesus Christ. So I'm just telling you, it doesn't mean that some of you don't have close family relationships outside the church. And I hope you do. I really do. I love my dad. My mom passed a couple of weeks ago. We got the memorial coming up at the end of June. Listen, I miss her already. But I've got to tell you, without you, it would have been much, much more difficult. Much more difficult. A man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. I'll read you another verse to you. It says, for who knoweth what is good for a man in his life? All the days of his vain life, which he spendeth as a shadow. For who can tell a man what shall be after him under the sun? That's Ecclesiastes 6:12. For who knoweth what is good for a man in his life? I'll tell you who knows what's good for you in your life. God. In the worst of situations, you can see God come through the situation in a way that nobody can even describe it to you until you yourself have experienced God. Everybody says, well, you've got to experience God. You know, that's a reality too, even though it's really abused on television. But you ought to experience God. You ought to have a relationship with Him. You ought to have a personal conversation with Him every day. And it ought to be personal. It ought to be, listen, Lord, Lord, I need to talk to you. We need to get alone together. And you say, well, how do you get alone with God? You bow your head and you look up or you open your eyes, whatever you're doing. You can be driving down the road and be alone with God. You can be in a crowded room, be alone with God. Because God is that way. He thinks you're special. And He will make sure you know you're special so long as you make sure He knows that you think He's special. Nobody more special than the Lord. James 4:14, the last part says, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and vanisheth away. Your life is like if you boil water and you see that vapor going up and that vapor goes up and it dissipates and it's gone. That's your life. Your life is that fast. Now, I know some young people say, well, it sure seems like it's going slow. I'm in school. Oh, man, it's forever. I'm in trouble. Boy, it seems like it's dragging. But you'll look back and your life will be just like that. It'll be gone. Then you look back and you go, what do I have to show for it? What do I have to show for my life? And you've got to figure that out. Your life's like a vapor. It appeareth for a moment and then it vanisheth away. If it's really like that, I mean, if the Bible's really true and it really means what it says and says what it means, your life's like a vapor. It appeareth for a little while and then it's gone. So what you do in this life determines all eternity, determines your destination, determines your rewards, determines what you're going to have for all eternity in heaven. You know, the Bible says that you ought to be laying up a good foundation against the time to come. What you do, I believe this. I believe the Bible that you learn down here, learn and live, really. Because you can learn a lot of Bible, but if you don't live the Bible, you really do not know the Bible. So what you learn and what you live down here will be what you start with. You're laying up a good foundation against the time to come. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study so that you don't have to be ashamed. Some people, I saw somebody the other day, they asked a question on Facebook, and I don't even know what the question was, and somebody started chewing them out. What does it really matter, they said. Well, it matters. What you know about the Bible and what you learn about the Bible and how you learn to apply the Bible, it does matter to God. This is His Word. If you don't love the Bible, then you got a problem. God wants you to love that Bible. God wants you to learn that Bible. And here's why, so you can live that Bible. There's a lot of people, they don't ever get to live the Bible. They don't even know what it says. There are people that walk by sight because they've been told, oh, you got to get the gift of tongues. Let me lay my hands on you and you'll get this gift. And then when you get this gift, you can experience God. Now, let me tell you what will happen. If you start getting messed up in that, you will be ashamed when you stand at the judgment seat of Christ because you ignored what the true Bible says and you got involved in something that God says, I want you to walk by faith and not by sight. Anybody that is looking for a sign from God is walking by sight and not by faith. And you can't please God. How do you know you can't please God? For without faith, it is impossible to please God. So if you're walking by sight and not by faith, then you are not able to please the everlasting Savior that died on the cross for you and died on the cross for me. You can't please Him. That's just what the Bible says. It's not my opinion. So what do you do with it? What do you do with it? Your life's like a vapor. Your life is like a vapor. So why get all wrapped up in what the world has to offer you and not what God has to offer you? God has so much to offer you. I can't imagine not living with joy. Does that mean every day is just, you know, cream cheese and ice cream? I don't know. I can't even think of anything right now. Does that mean that everything is just perfect? No. But a bad day with Jesus is nothing compared to a good day without Him. Because a good day without Him is just like the world defines it. Oh, well, you know, you made this money or you did this thing or you're all wrapped up in this. Oh, and then you look back and you go, what do I have for my life? Do you know if you don't have Jesus as a central part of your life, you have nothing. Nothing. Historically, turn to Proverbs 27. Proverbs 27. Historically, the family, along with the church, have been two of society's greatest shock absorbers, especially in the United States and especially here in the South. Shock absorbers. The brevity of life, Proverbs 27:1. What's the Bible say about the brevity of life? Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Don't boast about tomorrow. You don't know what tomorrow is going to be like. Now it says don't boast about it. Should you plan for it? Sure. Nothing wrong with saving. The Bible says that the parents ought to lay up for the children. Nothing wrong with, you know, having a nest egg. Nothing. There's nothing wrong with that unless that is your life. Unless that is all you live for. Unless nothing else is important. Unless you're such a Scrooge that nobody else matters. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5. In this brevity of life, how ought you to behave? I think the book of Ephesians chapter 5 gives you some great advice. It talks about walking circumspectly. Verse 15. Ephesians 5:15 says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." How do you do that? Verse 16. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Now, I hope you get it. Listen, the days have always been evil. I mean, yeah, we seem to be on a really evil steroid of sorts, you know. Sure seems that way. And listen, you better understand this church is a haven for that very thing. There are people out there that they're so invested in the previous administration that they can't function. There are people out there that are so invested in the current administration they can't function. Let me tell you something. redeem the time because the days are evil. And the days were evil when Trump was in office. It's just the way it is. What do you do to offset those evil days? Redeem the time. Redeem the time. That's all you've got. You know your greatest commodity is your time. I used to tell people all the time, if I give you my time, I have given you the greatest thing that I can give you. Some of you young people say, no, it's when you give me $5 or $10. No. Redeeming the time. It's giving your life for others. It's giving your life for Jesus Christ. Psalm 144:4 says, man is like to vanity, his days are as a shadow that passeth away. You hear, I mean, you, Psalm 144:4, you see how that works? It's your life's like a shadow that passeth away. I mean, you're walking down, the sun's moving, and you got a shadow, and then the shadow's gone. That's how fast life passes you by if you're not careful. Look at the book of Psalms, Psalm 90. Time does not change. Time does not change. I wrote down some statistics. Here they are. We have over 31.5 million seconds every year. 31.5 million seconds. That sounds like a lot, doesn't it? During leap years, once every 4 years, we have an additional 86,400 seconds to enable our calendar to catch up to time. 31.5 million seconds. And if you go through and you figure out how many seconds you waste, how many minutes you waste, how many hours you waste, how many days you waste, how many weeks you waste, how many months you waste, before you know it, you've wasted years. But it starts out with 1 second. And then it accumulates and accumulates and accumulates. Your life is like a vapor. It appears for a moment. It's like a shadow. Man, it's gone before you know it. Some of us know that. Listen, I'm 62. I wasn't supposed to be here this long. I'm telling you, I was like, man, 40, that's aging. When I hit 40, I'm like, I wasn't so bad. 50, oh man, that's 1 foot in the grave. Then I hit 60. I'm 60, I'm still a kid. Life's going that fast. Every second, man, there it goes, there it goes. And when you look back, what have you got to show for it? People ask me, you know, I've written a lot of books and I stay pretty busy and I do this and I do that. Listen, why? I don't want to waste a day. I take more time off than I ever did before because it depends on what you call time off. I told some people I'm going to have to disengage one day. You know, I'm going to have a day off here and a day off there. That are literal days off. But for right now, I'm okay. I'm okay. I'm not burning out yet, especially with the house coming down to the finishing line. It sure helps to think that we might actually live in the house sometime. There's light at the end of the tunnel. It's not a train. That's a good thing. You look for what you can rejoice in. I got some sayings here about time. Man said, managing your time without setting priorities is like shooting randomly and calling whatever you hit the target. You ought to set priorities. You can't just go, boom, yep, that's the target right there. You know, you have your eyes closed, yep, that's the target I was shooting for. If you don't have priorities, that's what you'll be like. You'll be like shooting in the wind and then going, yep, that's what I was shooting for. You ever hear anybody do that? They're like, you know, the braggarts. Here's another one. Living your life without a plan is like watching television with someone else holding the remote control. Yeah, some of you are like, hey, we can't talk about television here, brother. Don't you remember? We're Independent Baptists. It's better to do the right thing slowly than the wrong thing quickly. Peter Drucker, and I read several of his books as I was in management, and he wrote management books. Everything requires time. It is the only truly universal condition. All works takes place in time and uses up time. Yet most people take for granted this unique, irreplaceable, and necessary resource. Nothing else, perhaps, distinguishes effective executives as much as their tender, loving care of time. Time. You ever think about it? Learn to number your days. If you knew you only had 1 year left in your life, what would you do? What if you only had a month? I mean, guaranteed, you got 30 days and you're gone. What would you change? Well, I'd start witnessing to more people, you might say. Good idea. How do you know how much time you have? Do it anyway. I'd spend more time with my family than do it anyway. I'd tell the people that I love them more, and I wouldn't waste a day telling them that I love them. You have 30 days. Would you tell them at least every day for 30 days that you love them? Because they don't know, but you know you got 30 days left. Time. Time. One more quote. Peter Drucker again, he says, there's nothing so useless as doing efficiently that which should not be done at all. I like that. I don't like to waste time. I told Cox when they were, you know, they're finally, oh, you wouldn't believe it. They sent me a bill the other day for guy comes up from Pensacola and they charge us an hour for drive, $125, and then it's $125 an hour, and he comes up and the guy from Cox comes out and I said, yep, I said, that printer will not work on the new system, and that security system won't work on the new system. And he looks around and he says, well, that should have been fixed at the very beginning. I went, that's what I've been saying all along. That's what I've been saying all along. I said, listen, let me tell you how I am. And I told him, I wasn't thinking about this. I just said, look, I don't have time to fail at something that needs to get done. I've been telling you guys for a year that you got to do this, this, and this. And he says, we're going to get it done. I said, great. I said, but I had to hire a company to come out here, and then you guys come out here, and if you'd have come alone, you'd have been able to assess the problem without that other company that's going to have to come out here and fix it. And he said, yeah, I get it. I said, but you guys waste my time. I said, I don't have time to waste like that. Anyway, he says, we'll take care of it. I said, well, we'll wait and see if you do. We've been waiting a year and a half. Look at Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. One thing that I've learned is that God's expectations are completely contrary to the world's priorities. I would much rather have a life characterized by... I want you to fill in the blank. Now listen to what I just said. How do you want your life characterized? Epitaph. He, she, lived for. What would be on your tombstone? Self? Money? Glory? Power? Jesus? I would hope that mine would be, I live for the Lord. I live for others. It won't be that I live for others all the time, because self gets in the way. Galatians 5, look at verse 22. How about if you filled it in with this? My life is characterized by the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Is your life characterized by the fruit of the Spirit? You see, the world offers a life full of work and dread and irritability, frustration, disorganization, exhaustion, and burnout. But the choice is yours. Do you know that I've never gotten any of those things from Jesus? Never once. I've been saved 40 years, four decades. Two-thirds of my life. It's cool when you do numbers. Be quiet, Gary. I'm only 62 and I'm not quite dead yet. I never forget what you said that day. It was just very apropos. It didn't apply at all, but it was very apropos. Turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. You know, the ones who complain most about time seem to be the ones that waste it the most. You will never find time for anything. If you want time for something, you must make time for it. It has been said, time lost is never found again. Now, I really want you to think about time. I just can't stress that enough. Number your days. William Penn said, time is what we want most, but what we use worst. We can best describe our present society as spending their lives doing things they detest, to make money, to buy things they don't need, to impress people they don't like. I didn't say that. Somebody else did. Ecclesiastes 3. Let's look at what the Bible says about time. Verse 1. To everything there's a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh, and a time to mourn, a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose, and a time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow, and a time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate, and a time of war and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he hath set the world in their heart so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. If we only knew exactly what God wanted, wouldn't you think life would be easier? The problem is it'd be dull. I don't know what to expect tomorrow. You don't either. All we know is we're not promised tomorrow. So number your days. Number your days. If you were to die tomorrow, stand at the judgment seat of Christ, what will that be like? What will that be like? You know, there's only two types of rewards. The work, gold, silver, precious stones, you'll receive a reward. Wood, hay, stubble, your whole life just goes up in smoke. In heaven, it goes up in smoke. What do you have to show for your life? Look at Psalm 71. Psalm 71, I got some more quotes for you. Lord Chesterfield said, "Know the true value of time, snatch, seize, and enjoy every moment of it. No idleness, no laziness, no procrastination, neither put off till tomorrow what you can do today." Benjamin Franklin, "Dost thou love life? Then do not squander time, for that's the stuff that life is made of." Don't squander time. The bad news is time flies. The good news is you're the pilot. Time flies. You're the one that's the pilot. You need to get good at one of two things: planning in the spring or begging in the fall. Will Rogers, I always thought he said some neat things. Even if you're on the right track, you'll get run over if you just sit there. That's good. Guy quoting it that got hit by a train, huh? One other one. Time is a great teacher, but unfortunately it kills all its pupils. Actually, there's one more after that. Lily Tomlin, I think she's an actress, but anyway, there was a quote she said. If you win the rat race, you're still a rat. If you win the rat race, you're still a rat. One more verse and we're going to close. Psalm 71, verse 9, the prayer of David. Look at what he says. Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. Listen, I want to end well. I really do. The Bible talks about being a castaway. J. Frank Norris said it was the scariest verse in the Bible, being a castaway. Do you want to end well? If you want to end well, then you got to be on the right track. Time has to be of the utmost importance. I don't know what the future holds. All I know is that things seem to be a little bleaker today than what they were a little while back. What do I got? I got Jesus. What do I got? I got you. I'd say you got me too, but I'd say you're stuck with me. We got each other. We got each other. Let's all stand together, especially you, Miss Zoe. It's time to end. Don't worry. I'll pray quick. She's doing fine. Zoe, let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for your many blessings. We just pray, Lord, that you would guide, lead, and direct us. Lord, we thank you for being such a gracious and loving, merciful God. Lord, even when we don't use our time wisely, you're gracious enough to give us another day, another week, another month, another year. Help us, Lord, to focus upon thee, because that is all that matters. We pray this in Jesus' name and for his sake. As the music plays, I want you to get alone with God.